Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. I want to remind you of our listeners that we are on soundcloud.com/Taylor-report. And we are on facebook.com/The Taylor Report. Also, this is CIUT, and we're going to be in the near future, and it won't be long, we're going to be doing fundraising. And you can, at any time you wish, go online and donate to CIUT and just mention the Taylor Report. There are other great shows. One of them is Classical Underground, Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m. And lo and behold, we have Phil Conlon of Classical Underground with us. Are you there, Phil?
Yes, good evening, Phil.
Thanks for coming along. We're Zooming. This is, so far, I think our listeners and CIUT have been pretty happy that we're, like a lot of people working at home, we're able to get it done, and the quality is, we think, matches what the people would wish. Today on the show, we're going to be talking to Keith Bolander, who has written very important books about Cuba, but particularly his books have focused on the role of Washington in sponsoring acts of terror against the Cuban people. And Keith is going to be talking about what he anticipates might be the impact of the US election. So I think you will be very interested in that. Phil, I thought we should make sure we say at the beginning, we probably should do it every show, that it is time to liberate Meng Wanzhou, Huawei executive. She's a businesswoman who's committed, her company, Huawei, has done a lot in the world of technology and all these wonderful devices that are being developed. And Huawei is in the forefront of this. And unfortunately, the U.S. Is green with envy, and on several fronts, political and economic. And it was a decision taken by the Trump administration. We're told it might have been that colorful character named Bolton who pulled the trigger on this, but they decided basically because they couldn't beat Huawei. They couldn't find a way to prevent Huawei from continuing on its road, the high road, I would say, of success. They couldn't compete with Huawei, so they have resorted to piracy and to wild actions. Trump and, frankly, Obama before him have begun to focus on China, the way that sometimes if you see a dog that suddenly starts looking at prey and you realize it's not going to think about anything else except that target. That's what the U.S. has decided to do with China. And in this specific case, that of Huawei. And it's, I would say, our commentary, we should raise the matter is the goal of the Canadian government to acquire a vote in the American election. The Americans are about to elect Canada's president. We know that the US administration can get what it wants. It's being demonstrated in the courtroom in British Columbia. They can actually disrupt the Canadian economy. This idea of talking about Meng Wanzhou as though and the rivalry with the US and China, it does leave out of too often the fact that Canada, as we said last week on the show, but I want to keep repeating this, Canada benefits from good relations and good trade with China. Canada did not initiate a policy of pivoting to China, as that was the term pivot was coined by Barack Obama. And this decision to order her arrest, the arrest of the financial officer of Huawei, was aimed at Canada, actually. It was to say to Canada, we're going to take out of your hands the question. We're going to remove the whole issue of Huawei from functioning within the Canadian economy and of being of Canadians acquiring the new generation of Huawei technology. Take it out of your hands by ordering you to make an arrest on an executive has not broken, her company has not broken any Canadian laws. Huawei has a very good reputation internationally, very good reputation for adhering to the laws of the countries where it functions. So Washington said, we want you to apprehend Meng Wanzhou. And to the shame of the population, in my view, and of anyone who thinks it's a good idea to have a sovereign country, the order was carried out. And Phil, I don't know, have you followed what has gone on in the courtroom?
Yeah, I've followed it very closely. And of course, what has come out this week is that the Canadian authorities, and there were two groups of authorities, the RCMP and the Canada Border and Service Agency, were tripping over each other. And in the process, appeared to have violated her rights. Of course, anybody who lands in Canada is protected by the Charter of Rights, unless you're an official at Huawei. Then, of course, that protection wasn't there. And it's kind of it's embarrassing enough that the judge has now indicated, well, I'm going to hear more evidence on this because the legal term is the allegations have the air of reality. The allegations, of course, is that her civil liberties and civil rights were violated upon the landing of the plane. And
it's interesting how they use this language.
Yeah.
They say the charter rights as though it's some kind of a remote and abstract. We're just talking about legal process, due process. People are not supposed to be asked to surrender things and to pass on information if they don't know that there is a charge that's going to be laid against them. They're supposed to be protected. They're supposed to know, have access to a lawyer if they're going to be, if charges are going to be brought. So they played a little cat and mouse game. But the heavy-handedness of the Americans in this was gross. And I see, it seems to me it's still being played down here. You know the expression bag man. Something strange happened. The RCMP goes to the airport and they have an order that says arrest her immediately. By the way, the application for the warrant in front of a judge told that judge that she had no connections in Canada. She owned two houses, personally. And by the way, connections, she is a Huawei executive. One would assume that's automatically some kind of connection to Canada, but we all have to play this odd little game of, you know, wink, wink. So anyway, he had a lying application for a warrant. Then the judge says, okay, arrest her immediately, but he didn't arrest her immediately. Instead, he talked to the border Canadian border people, all of them had already been contacted by the American FBI. And she spent 3 hours with the border people who suddenly became very interested in her business. She had visited Canada 52 times and nobody had ever asked her any of these questions. And so what was the foundation for the questions? The border people are supposed to be doing their own work. They're not with the RCMP. It's a different function. But they acquired her phone and her laptop and other electronic devices, and they convinced her, and I don't know how this was done, I can't wait to find out, how they convinced her to part with her passwords. Then, here's the two parts that really interest me for the detail. they put her devices in what a thing that has a special name. It's called the Markey bag, I think. I'm making that up, but it's close. And it's the bag prevents anyone externally from erasing things on those devices. So they put it in a special bag. The bag was provided by the FBI. The Americans provided the bag. So the Canadians' border people didn't have their own bag, and they were given that bag and told to put the devices in it. So you're aiding and abetting a foreign police operation when this person that you're dealing with is a business executive who's broken no Canadian laws, and the laws that they allege were broken in the United States are illegal based on American sanctions, which are illegal. They have no standing in international law, which brings up the name of Chrystia Freeland, who likes to use the word law. Her rights were violated, but that detail of the American FBI gives the border people a bag and said, put it in this. Then they take the password, and he had with a straight face, the man who did that says he mistakenly gave it to the RCMP, mistakenly. And actually claimed that if he'd realized at the time, he would have asked for it back. I mean, this is absurd, absolutely laughably absurd. But that's where we are on this, the Meng Wanzhou. It is Canada has shot itself in the foot in order to make the US government happy. I think the judge is watching the American elections because it's a legal proverb that judges read newspapers, and everybody's waiting for a signal from the big boss, the big guy in the US, to decide what they want to do with this case. But it has been, in my opinion, a national disgrace that it ever happened. This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT. It's 89.5. I'm here with Phil Conlon. We're going to be back later on to talk more of these matters, but we have Keith Bolander coming up, and we know you'll like that.